financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, you use the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. I would remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question. Type P if you wish to propose. Type S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. The event the two councillors propose at the same time, the person who proposed first will be taken as a proposer and the person who proposed second will be taken as the seconder. All right, so item number two.
Yeah, we just need to record the apologies as well.
Apologies, yeah.
So we have Councillor Malone and Councillor McKevitt is running late.
Okay.
None from officers at this point.
Councillor McKevitt's just joined the meeting.
All right. Thank you. All right. So item number two in the agenda, declaration of interest. I see Councillor Gibbons has declared an interest regarding Restrever's main shed.
Okay. None.
Okay, that's fine, thank you. Item number three on the agenda, to agree a starting time for AHC committee meeting.
I propose that we adhere to the same times that we are at the moment, so I make a proposal that we stick to 6 o'clock starts.
Yeah. I would second that, Chair.
Okay. So that's Councillor Andrews proposing and Councillor...
David Taylor. Sorry, I was saying.
Sorry, are you okay? David Taylor proposing. I seconded, sorry. Sir, do you want that vocally? Sorry, Terry, Councillor Andrews and Taylor, could you vocally?
I so propose, Chairperson, that we start at 6 o'clock.
I second the proposal of Councillor Andrews.
Thank you. Okay, item number four on the action sheet, any arising from the AHC committee meeting held on the 16th of March?
Councillor Mason's looking for a question.
Yes, Councillor Mason, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to ask on the item regarding the domestic violence, the motion that had been put forward to full council and it was deferred to AHC. And it's just to see if there's any update on it. Or I know with COVID and everything, that things obviously are very, very limited, but has there been anything or any update on any progression on that? Thank you.
Is that directed for Owen?
Chair. I think it's possibly for PCSP. Think it's for me.
It could be for me, Chair. It's Janine. I have no update at the minute for Councillor Mason, but I will endeavour to get one and come straight back to committee. So I know that the PCSP have ongoing campaigns in relation to domestic violence, so I'll get the most recent update and come back to you.
Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Gibbons.
Yeah, hi guys. It's regarding the adoption of suicide down to zero, is there any more development? It's been that long since we've got back to all this. Is there any more developments regarding it, Owen? I see the very last point, the working group. I know already the answer to this, but there hasn't been any chance to form a working group. Is there any more developments on it?
Okay.
Well, through the chair, you'll be aware that, or you may not be aware, the financial assistance call is in the call that went out last Friday. There's a report on that in the committee. So that £10,000 has been put out to groups for, and the criteria for that are, have been left very broad as to any types of work they can propose to do regarding suicide prevention. Prior to the lockdown, the council declared their aspiration of suicide down to zero. I know you're right. We had had meetings with the trusts prior to the lockdown, and the first stage of that was going to be events with the elected members in the first place of the trust. But unfortunately, the situation we have, you know, that has come to a halt. But hopefully, as things go back to some sort of normality, we can pick it up again with the trusts.
No bother. That's it.
Thank you. Councillor O'Hare?
Yes, but the same issue that Mark raised there with the suicide down to zero. Is there going to be an annual money for this, Owen? Like the way the coronavirus is at the minute, we could really do with it annually, if not more, you know. And another thing is the groups that do avail of it, are they... Can they get feedback? Like, you sort of need feedback on it instead of just giving money out. You'd want feedback on it to see how they're getting on and what they've done and that kind of crack, you know?
Yes, sir. Well, obviously, we will evaluate and review what, because obviously it's the first time we're doing this. And the intention would be to try to maintain at least that amount of money in the estimates when we come to the estimates time in September, which obviously has been the elected members to ensure. But at the moment, the intention is that we have it in the estimates now, and we would be trying to keep it at least the same amount in the estimates next year.
That's great, Owen. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Taylor?
Yep, thank you, Chair. A couple of issues, Chair. Just the first one is just in relation to New York City AFC, the request for the meeting. I'm just conscious, you know, obviously we've been in circumstances that, you know, hasn't been permitted over the last 3 months, but there was a bit of a time delay in the first instance anyway in relation to this meeting being arranged. So I would appeal obviously to officials to ensure that that meeting is arranged at the earliest possibility now that things are relaxed a wee bit, even if they could do a meeting over Zoom, just to try and progress that, because I'm just conscious of the time that has passed when this was first raised. The other issue is the Your School, Your Club funding. There's a couple of projects that I'm aware of just in terms of local schools that have been looking at the possibility of availing of some funding through that scheme. Is there any indication that they may relax their, you know, timelines or time frames in terms of that scheme? Because I'm conscious that the Education Authority, for instance, were, I know I'm thinking of one particular project where they've been working on obviously the, you know, proposal, the design proposal, because of, you know, the way staffing hasn't been in offices and haven't been permitted to do site meetings, there's obviously been delays in that regard in terms of putting together the details of the proposals. Is there any indication has been made to officials, or could they at least even try and ascertain if there's any intention to maybe extend or show some grace in terms of timelines when ever submitting applications for that scheme?
Paul, do you want to touch on that?
Yeah, no problem, through the chair. Yeah, in terms of the Your School, Your Club query, obviously there's been delays in around specific projects to get approved at that stage. I know, I think in terms of the school you're talking about, it has been led by the Education Library Board at this stage. However, given our last meetings, it does look like it's favourable that it's likely that we'll get funding again. However, planning permission would be required, and also any match funding identified and stuff like that would be in place in terms of Your School, Your Club funding. And so they are probably the two key elements that any particular projects needs to have in place prior to being able to apply to the scheme or be successful in their application to the scheme. And so that prerequisite won't change, but it is probably the intention. It does look like at this stage, Councillor Taylor, that funding will continue and submissions will be available
okay.
At some stage. Yeah. So, yeah. In terms of your query around Newry AFC, you're saying conscious that there was a time delay at the initial start, but hopefully I can come back to you with a response in terms of ongoing communications at this stage. Is it okay?
Oh, yeah, that's fine. Thanks. Thanks, Paul. Thank you.
No problem.
Lovely. Councillor Andrews?
Thanks very much, Chairperson. What my question was, it was in relation to suicide down to zero, but it has been answered, and I'd like to commend all our officers and departments for working alongside other statutory agencies and bodies to deal with this. But thanks very much.
No problem. Thank you, Councillor Andrews. And Councillor Traynor.
Thanks very much, Chair. It's a question in relation to, on the action sheet, we have the summer programme, the summer activity programme for 2020. Now, obviously, COVID has most likely either delayed that or suspended that, but you know, we're in a very fluid situation whereby restrictions are being lifted at sort of different levels over the number of weeks. Have we any sort of summer activity programme planned if the restrictions are lifted further? Because very conscious that, you know, that is for a lot of families out there, or young people, that can be quite important, those council programmes that are in place.
Well, do you want to touch on that?
Yeah, just through the chair, the business plan does outline, some delays in terms of the summer activity program. I think the summer activity program, as it was anticipated, is unlikely to proceed, given the access to indoor leisure facilities required. And whilst there's been a number of restrictions, and there's a report later in terms of outdoor facilities access, the summer activity program, as it previously stood or was planned, would be limited. However, we hope that, depending on restrictions being lifted and the continuation of some of our EBA contracts and stuff like that, that there could be an opportunity to deliver certainly some outdoor-type activities, providing that the restrictions are lifted enough to allow that to take place. And so we're hopeful about that, but also some of that will be subject, to budget provision, and some budgets have came out to be able to be put back in, so we'd have to put those budget requirements back into our business plans to allow that to happen, but yeah, there's potential to facilitate stuff at short notice.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. Sorry, can I just ask, do you need a proposer and a seconder to move on from there?
I think Councillor Murray is looking in there for a question.
Oh, sorry, I can't see that. Sorry. Go ahead, Barra. Sorry. Are you on mute, Barra?
Yeah, and I had a question in there as well.
Sorry. It was just on the same issue there that was raised. I hadn't intended speaking on that at all, but just since it has been raised, just sort of going along with what Paul's reporting back there, I can't see how you could potentially roll out a summer programme for kids in the current setup when we're not sure about them returning back to school. You know, that most of the confusion that is in society at the minute is how are we going to get children back into classrooms in September? So I know locally with regards Irish language groups and that around South Armagh, the feedback that we're getting is how could you possibly potentially take a load of children together in any capacity when it still hasn't been decided yet how we're going to return them back to school and that. So I don't see how we could plan for anything like that there. So Paul, I suppose, yeah, I'm backing what you're saying. It's just something we need to roll on meeting to meeting, you know, at this stage. But John, I can't wait till we're back to where you want to be.
Is Councillor McMurray looking in there for a question? No, maybe he's on mute. Are you, Councillor McMurray?
Yep, I'm on mute. That's exactly what I'm doing. I was going to say from one chair to another new chair, you're doing very well. And I can't manage to unmute myself, but there you go. No, just to reiterate again what some of the other councillors have raised regarding how we provide for young people and youth in these strange times. I'm wondering, is it worth even liaising with the EA, Young People Services, just maybe to see if there's any sort of best practice emerging in that regard, because you know, how we facilitate children, young people, young adults in this going forward can be pretty critical. So thank you, Chair.
Paul, do you want to touch on that? Is there anything you want to add?
Thank you, Chair. Not really. You know, it is a lot of this is down to, I suppose, the government announcements. We are working very closely behind the scenes with other statutory bodies that are responsible for this, and our requirement around lead times to, you know, sometimes particularly around seasonal programs, recruiting of staff and those sorts of things could play a major role in whether we can or cannot deliver something. So it is a fluid situation. It's my report you'll see when it's just coming about opening of outdoor leisure facilities. You know, that's changed from when I wrote it last week in terms of restrictions. And so it's a very fluid situation that we're going to have to, I suppose, analyse as and when it comes and whatever the restrictions are. But certainly around anything indoor at this stage is very, very limited from any of the guidance that we've got so far.
Thank you. And sorry, Councillor Casey, you were looking in.
Aye, mine's on the restricted items. Do I need a...
Okay.
That's on the lease of lands at Barcroft. Do you mean
the same? Yeah, we have to go and look at it.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, I can't hear you, Sarah.
Oh, it was Marie was talking. Yeah, we'd have to go into committee to discuss them.
I propose okay. In the committee.
All right.
Do I have to take that in?
No, and sorry, Councillor Andrews, if you would just vocally say that you would second it, or sorry, Councillor Traynor, I see he had in as proposed as well.
I would second that we would go to committee.
Okay, thank you.
Chair, Michael here. Just a suggestion, Chair. Could we? Yes. We are going to go into restricted items at the end of the meeting anyway. Could Councillor Casey hold his question till then, so as we don't have to have the press going out and coming back in again?
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah,
we'll
fine.
Go back on it then.
Thank you, Charlotte. Okay. So, can I have a proposer and a seconder then to move on to item number? To close off item number 4 and move on to item number 5. Councillor Andrews has proposed and Councillor Gallagher is second.
So proposed, Chairperson.
Thank you. Okay, so item number 5, Emergency Business Plan, April to September 2020. I think that's Michael.
Yep, okay, Chair, thank you. I'll take that. You have the emergency business plan, COVID-19 business plan in front of you. It's very detailed, so I don't propose to read it out. There's also a detailed cover report. Again, I don't want to read all of that, but I suppose it's important to point out, and as the discussion up until this point has shown, these emergency business plans are very dynamic and flexible. The situation at the minute is really turbulent and volatile. It's changing all the time. We're just trying to keep up, and the business plan, by its very nature, therefore, will change dramatically, I suspect, over the next weeks and months. This business plan is the basis on which the COVID revised budgets were put forward to SPNR last week, and sets out a number of new initiatives and new programs that we have taken on over the course of this COVID crisis since the middle of March. Most notably, the fact that we have community coordination hubs set up. We have community coordination hubs in each DEA then set up, led by the DEA officer and a team of community volunteers and other paid staff. We have three district distribution centres in each of the leisure centres, which distributes to a number of smaller centres across a number of the DEAs. And that all happened very, very quickly at the start of all this to ensure that we put out in and around 1,700 odd food boxes every week since this pandemic started. So since, I think it was the second week in April, we started delivering those. And members will be aware I've been sending out weekly updates on that, on the food boxes and where they're being delivered to. So you get that on a weekly basis. We've also had to look at how we do things differently in terms of Obviously, because the indoor leisure is closed, we've had to do an awful lot more stuff online, and there's been quite a bit of that going on. Again, you'll see some detail on that in the business plan. We then, obviously, as I've said, that impacted on our financial position. We have had to furlough pretty much all of the staff in indoor leisure, and as many as we could in community centres. And to that regard, it's going to take us a little bit longer to upskill, to get staff back in order to start running the services once the restrictions are lifted. So that's just a point I would make. Obviously, we've lost significant income streams in leisure, and that it was negated by the fact that we could furlough some of these staff, but still it's a big loss in terms of the overall budget, which is the responsibility of SPNR and the programmes, which are the responsibility of this committee. So that's been a big problem for the council. We're still trying to work through that as a management team, and this business plan is the basis on which we're trying to do that. So it talks about the challenges, which I've touched on, and a number of opportunities, not least of all the new way of working that we're doing right now for this committee meeting. And a number of stakeholder needs and expectations, which are growing in all sorts of different ways. And we then talk about the new activity, which I've talked about, and the delayed suspended activity. So I would draw your attention in particular to those sections of the business plan which talk about those programs and activities which have been delayed or suspended. So, for example, as I've said, closure of the leisure centres, suspension of key programs. We talked about the summer activity program, seasonal facilities and our tourism areas, closure of community facilities, delays in the implementation of DEA action plans, and on it goes. So, Chair, basically this is our attempt to try and react to a rapidly changing environment, to try to deal with the financial impacts that the council have seen from this, as well as rising to the challenges that have been presented to support our community through it. So my assistant directors are all here. We're happy to take any questions if there are any.
Okay, well, Councillor Andrews.
Thank you very much, Chair. And Michael, I'd like to thank you very much for a very comprehensive report. And like, as I say, what questions really can you ask? Because as it's already been touched, we're living in a very, you know, volatile situation, and the way indications could be going is we could be having a change in social distancing from 2 metres down to a metre. That seems to be coming down the lane. But I do welcome the report and what you're trying to do, but and then also at the same time, it's probably a roadmap for the future to try to get into some form of normalcy where situations permit. But that's just my point, is that I do welcome the report, and also I'd like to take the opportunity of thanking you and the staff, and especially those at the front line, and putting together so many food packs that have been a great help to the constituents and to people right across the district, and for everybody involved in this operation. You're all to be commended, and like I say, thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor O'Mara?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Michael, thanks. A very comprehensive report that it took a long time to get through it enough. And it struck me as I was reading it that it's nearly already out of date in many regards. You know, it's such a, as you say, it's a fluid time we're living in. And if the report was written 10 days ago or 2 weeks ago, even today with the latest announcements from the executive, it's, you know, it moves things on another bit or that there. I went through, I've got, I suppose, 4 points I'd like to make on it. On the section customer and stakeholder needs and expectations, I know we're going to talk about outdoor leisure and that later on in the meeting, but the expectations for the reopening of council fields, just very quickly, is, well, the people's expectation is that all sports is going to open at the one time, and you're going to have the GASA opening at the end of this month for people training on, and the council fields maybe not opening for another while. Now, we're going to come to that later and accept that. The governance arrangements, I've no problem with the governance arrangements. They're prudent, they're clear, they're transparent. You know, they need to be reviewed as frequently as possible, given that things are going to change, you know, possibly twice a week with executive announcements on a Monday and Thursday. So even weekly reviews of this here would be prudent again. The action plan, a bit like the stakeholder needs and expectations. And then the community engagement, Michael, the section on community engagement on that is what really struck me. So we've probably engaged with the community more so during this crisis than ever before, because if you ever had to try to send out a questionnaire, that you're going to get a small number of people are going to get back to it. But in the middle of this COVID-19 crisis, and you send out information that help is available from the council and from the council hub, and that, and there's been thousands of responses right across the district, and we've been struck in Slieve Gully in the amount of people that have put their hand up and asked for support. So, Michael, I would say that all of this can be a real education for the whole lot of us, and we can look in the aftermath of all this, and we can identify need. We can reconstitute what need is within our district, because we can see clearly where help is required and what is done. But a very well worked document. Thanks a million.
Thank you, Councillor O'Murray. Councillor Traynor.
Thanks very much, Chair. And I suppose, Barr's touched on part of it there already, especially around the customer stakeholder engagement with regards to needs and expectations. And as Barr said, you know, with regards to the outdoor facilities, you know, we'll touch on that later. And how are we managing the expectations? Because it is a very fluid situation that we find ourselves in, where you know, we're fighting changes could be happening at times on a daily basis, on a weekly basis. And obviously going back maybe to the, and I hate to do this, but I have to, but going back to the summer provision there, and about engaging with young people, I think it is, as Councillor Murray had suggested back at the action plan, it's very important that we are linked in with the Education Authority and their young people services, to find out are there any ways in which we can engage with young people, within the council's remit, or is there any way that we can support them in their engagement? And these are things that we should be trying to do. You know, the greater interagency working, the greater the result is for the residents in the district. So, but look, it's a fantastic piece of work. It's very comprehensive. It covers a lot of issues. One question I do have is that once we get to a point in time where the community hubs will mightn't be fulfilling the same role, you know, what would be the plan for, I suppose, transferring back to normality within the two main leisure centres in the district? Because obviously the Newry Leisure Centre and Down Leisure Centre are the two primary hubs where the packages are coming into. They're being sorted and then they're being distributed. And what would be, because obviously at some point there'll be indoor leisure activities, there will be an easing to that, hopefully. I say hopefully. And at that point we may be looking at, you know, restricted usage again. So in that event, how can we manage with the community hub as well as trying to deliver to the customer base, the stakeholders?
Don't know, Chair, if you want me to come in on that.
Yeah, come on ahead.
Yeah, you make the point for me. It's pretty difficult, obviously, to try and carry out a whole raft of new activities and at the same time then start to restart all of the previous activities that we had in those centres. We understand that the food box scheme is likely to be extended for another number of weeks and that therefore the distribution hubs in the three main leisure centres will be required. Although again, it looks like there'll be a reduced number of boxes, so we may be able to scale that back to either one or two centres. Clearly, if an easing of lockdown in terms of indoor provision comes before we stop the food box scheme, then that will have an impact on what we can open in the centre. And there's obviously a potential conflict with lorries and all coming in to make deliveries and so on. So that would add an extra layer of complexity, but anything's possible. We are led by the executive on this and by the guidance coming out through Sport NI and through all of the sports governing bodies. And we will do our best to rise to the challenge that we are set to open these facilities up when that happens. But you're absolutely right. It's going to mean undoubtedly reduced opening hours, limited opening of facilities initially, gradually scaling up over quite a long period of time, I would suggest. And if you think of the high-risk activities like the pools and like the gyms, they are likely to be, you know, in the latter phases rather than the early ones. So, yeah.
Thank you, Michael. Councillor Casey? Well, you're on mute, Charlie.
I'm trying to post up on Facebook here at the same time. No, thanks very much, Leon. No, I, like the rest of the speakers, I want to congratulate the council on the plan. And as Boris said, it is a fluid situation because our directions from the Assembly are changing, you know, week to week. And I know that the food aspect of it, the food box aspect of it, is due to finish very, very soon. And I want to know, just want to get some clarity what happens after that. And as well as that, I'd like this committee or even our council would send a goodwill message to the Minister, Deirdre Hargey, who's actually in hospital to undergo some surgery. And it was Deirdre who actually introduced the system at the very start. So full marks to Deirdre for that. So I would think that the very least we could do, our council anyway, is to write a letter of goodwill. And congratulations, as Terry said, to all the staff who have done sterling work thus far. Thank you very much, Leon.
No, that's great, Charlie. Thank you. Councillor McMurray.
Yep. Thank you, Chair. And again, thank you all the council officers involved in the response. It must have been an incredibly trying time for you. And all the work that went into it. Just one quick question, and I totally understand the reasons for the delay and the suspension, but I'm just wondering, given the anecdotal and documented evidence suggesting that people have real affinity and reconnect with nature, what will the process be for, you know, trying to remove the delayed, suspended label on some of these works? You know, again, most notably the walking trails, you know, which you know, again, like all these things, actively gets people outside, actively gets people active. The you know, and the health benefits, mental benefits, which these facilities enable. Again, I imagine it's a possible question, but it's just trying to look forward as much as anything else. Chair, thank you.
Great. Thank you, Councillor McMurray. Does one of the officials want to come in there and touch on that?
Come in, Chair. Maybe Paul wants to come in as well, but certainly you've talked about walking trails, which it seems to me are probably something that will open fairly quickly from here. We don't have guidance yet, and Paul maybe talk a little bit more about that. But it would certainly seem to be one of the lower risk areas. Obviously, there's an issue around car parking and how people get there. But yeah, that seems eminently possible. And as soon as we have guidance on how to do that safely, we'll certainly look to do it. Don't know if you want to come in as well, Paul?
Yeah, thank you, Margaret, and through the chair. I suppose with the sooner we know a lot about, you know, our parks, Kilbronies and those sort of things are open for access and stuff like that at the moment, providing social distancing measures are in place, is my understanding, talking to my ERT colleagues. In terms of the community trails, I suppose we have contractors re-engaging, going back on site this week. You'll know that members will know that we have 4 community trails approved and have joint funding bids in with other organisations. And so 2 of those were on site before COVID closed down, and they're recommencing this week as a result of our engagement with the contractors over the past couple of weeks, and obviously new guidance coming out from the construction industry. So I suppose that's a positive in terms of those particular projects moving forward, and I suppose continuing to facilitate the likes of the outdoors.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Sorry, Charlie, I see there that you had another queue in. Was that just
That's a mistake. Sorry, Leon.
So can I have a proposer and seconder then to move on to item number 6?
Just before we do move on, are we agreed that we will send a letter from councillor from this committee at the very least to Deirdre Hargey? Goodwill message.
That's fine. Councillor O'Hara has proposed that and Andrews has seconded it.
Lovely. Brilliant.
That's lovely. Thank you. Sorry, Charlie. All right. So item number 6, Piece 4 report.
Yes, Chair, it's Janine. I'll take that report if you're happy. Members, as per normal practice, this is our piece four report tabled. We need approval from AHC to ratify the recommendations arising from the partnership, specifically those relating to shared spaces and services and building positive relations. So we need approval from committee, Chair.
Okay. All right.
Chairperson, so proposed.
Okay, and Councillor McKevitt has seconded that.
Yep, I second that, yeah.
Janine, thank you. Okay, and item number 7, financial assistance.
Yes, Chair, Janine again. Members, the paper provides us with background to previous decisions made by AHC and Council in relation to financial assistance. Specifically, it details the agreement by AHC to go to the open call one prior to the start of the new financial year. So we have hundreds of letters of offer out at the minute to local groups committing the Council to spend of over $420K in call one. The paper also references then call two, which has just been opened. Details of it have been circulated across social media at the tail end of last week. It's the first time, as we have advised, that we're going with the electronic grant management system. And we have hopefully ensured there's plenty of tuition available for groups going through this process for the first time. But again, if you have any groups requiring assistance, please send them our way and we will do our best to help them. Call 2 is a rolling call and incorporates funding for things which we have referenced previously in this meeting, suicide prevention, policing, community safety and good relations. But Chair, the main purpose of the report is to get approval for call 3, which will detail Christmas illuminations and capital spend. So the recommendations contained within section 3.1 in the report.
Thank you. Councillor Walker. Are you in mute, possibly?
Is that it now?
Yep, that's you.
No, I'd propose we'd accept the officer's recommendation, but in relation to some of the calls and that, I know what you've said, you've extended in a sense because of COVID, the call, in a sense, that what happens if some of these programmes have sort of just started to be rolled out. Now, I think Councillor Hannah was on to the Director, Michael, in relation to this. Will they be caught between a rock and a hard place, whereas if they've something, say, started, that they won't get paid?
Sorry, Chair, are you happy enough for me to come back?
Go ahead, Janine.
No, we're trying to work with groups individually. We know this poses a lot of problems for groups. So staff in the programmes unit have been contacting groups to ask them are they planning to continue spend or to tweak their programme slightly and to give them assistance. We definitely don't want to be taking money off groups and we want to work with them to adapt the programme based on the current situation. So we're hoping to help groups as opposed to withdraw funding. And individually, each application is different and council officers will assess that, but send them our way with initial queries and we'll talk directly to the groups.
No, that's okay. Thanks for that, Janine.
No bother. Councillor Andrews?
Thanks very much, Chairperson. And my question was along the same vein that Councillor Walker had raised. Janine, I appreciate very much your answer and I appreciate also the hard work that these are doing at this time, dealing with all the applications. And I'm only too happy to second the paper that has been submitted for our consideration. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, and Councillor Traynor.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. Just a quick question, and it may be an ignorant question to ask, but I have to ask it. It's in relation to the £550,000 that would be there for capital schemes. Is that both community capital and sport capital?
Yes, through the Chair, it is. Yes, it's split between sports and community. Council had previously agreed that. I think AHC had made that decision.
Yeah. Just double checking, Chair, just for clarity.
All right, so I just need a proposer and a seconder then to close off on item number 7.
I think Councillor Walker had proposed.
All right, Sarah.
Councillor Walker had proposed and Councillor Andrews had seconded.
Okay. All right, item number 8 on the agenda, the outdoor partnership for Paul.
Thank you, Chair. Members note that this report is to consider and agree to a memorandum of understanding between Council and an entity called the Outdoor Partnership, who have recently received funding to appoint a development officer in Northern Ireland, focusing on, I suppose, working with governing bodies, councils, and greater uptake and employability in the outdoor sports sector. Essentially, the recommendation is to for Council to agree to this memorandum of understanding, and also, which means be represented on the Northern Ireland Stakeholder Working Group for this.
Okay. Let's see, there's no questions, but Councillor O'Murray and Councillor has proposed and Councillor McMurray has seconded. Thank you. And then item number 9, reopening of outdoor leisure facilities.
Thank you, Chair. Well, there's been quite a bit of discussion around this already. The opening of, or the further opening of outdoor leisure facilities is in reaction to, I suppose, the lifting of restrictions and announcements from the Executive on the 4th of June. Essentially, we are proposing and recommending in this report that we start to reopen designated bowling greens, artificial surfaces, and allow the likes of club and commercial coaching on the likes of our tennis facilities and other facilities. Essentially, this recommendation is to move to that lifting of restriction within these council facilities. And I suppose I will note in line with maybe guidance, and that's particularly around keeping the likes of pavilions and toilets closed at this stage. But I suppose as announcements change and as the situation announcements made, we expect to move with those announcements as best we can.
Okay. Councillor O'Murray is looking in there.
Yep. Thanks, Paul. I was looking through this here and I'm wearing another hat. I'm the chairperson of St Michael's GFC in Newtown. We've got a situation where you're going to get GAA clubs returning to training, non-contact training at the end of this month. You could have a situation in your cities and your larger towns where many sports clubs use council facilities and they're going to run into a situation where they're not going to be able to train on their pitch, but their neighbours down the road who own their own pitch will be able to train on theirs. We've talked already about how fluid the situation is, and I can see this changing very, very, very rapidly. You know, all being well, I hope I'm right, and it changes very, very rapidly. I hope that everything keeps going the way it is going, and that our young people and young adults are able to get out on the sports fields and playing as soon as possible. I've no problem with bowling pavilions and tennis courts and all that, and I'm happy to propose the reopening of those. That's not what my issue is. My issue is that the larger the team sports, the soccer pitches and the Gaelic pitches right throughout, and the rugby pitches and all, any field sports right throughout the district. I don't want the council to be on the wrong side of this. I don't want us to be behind the curve. So if there's, I would ask that respectfully that council officials follow the very latest guidance from Sport NI, keep an eye out to what the soccer governing body is saying, the GAA are saying, the rugby, Irish rugby are saying on this here, and try and keep up with where they are so that we're not, because councillors are going to be bombarded with this. As soon as some children are able to go back and train on their own pitches and then others aren't going to be able to go to a council pitch, it's going to become a logistical nightmare for councillors. And because we won't have an AHC meeting in between that. I would just ask that this gets treated with the fluidity that it deserves. So that's my lot. Thanks.
Do you want to touch in there on anything, Paul?
Yeah, Chair, if you're just happy to respond. Definitely, Councillor Murray, take your points. I suppose what we haven't, and probably what you're more alluding to in there, is in relation to grass pitches. And I suppose at this stage, we're actually, you know, about to commence our general maintenance programs for our pitches. Our pitches previously never available for booking for training previously. Given around the maintenance and those sorts of things however, we do probably anticipate that given the good weather that we're having and subject to grounds maintenance, that we may be required to designate some grass pitches to allow training to be facilitated. And we just suppose have to work out a lot of the arrangements in relation to that. So that is probably something that in terms of moving with the fluidity and demand, if you like, for the likes of facilities, but in particular probably as what you're alluding to, grass pitches, we're going to have to consider that as we move forward, and likely to be once our maintenance regimes are completed, to then designate facilities, in particular grass pitches, in across the district that we may allow to, in this particular and unprecedented times, allow for potential training options.
Thank you. Councillor McMurray.
Yes, Chair. I suppose from Councillor O'Mara's perspective from a slightly different angle, I mean, all we want to see is people outside availing of the good weather and getting active and all the rest of it. But again, in this sort of the slightly sort of emerging of two agenda items, the next agenda item is talking about a memorandum of understanding about how to enforce these things. And I'm just wondering, will council officers, I'm thinking of the likes of outdoor provision. Do you envisage a scenario where council officers will be, visiting certain areas to ensure that best practice is being followed, or is that something that you don't really? I mean, again, it's an incredibly fine line to balance, but. Anyway, that's sort of the point I'm making. Chair, thank you.
Okay, through the chair. In terms of, I suppose, the management and governance of I suppose, our bookings and stuff for that, I suppose we'll be asking any of our facilities to come through a very specific booking process, and the required, insurances and certainly now risk assessments and stuff like that for clubs to adhere to as is being identified by their governing bodies at present. We'll be asking them to adhere to those. We're actually putting a lot of onus potentially on the clubs to be able to adhere to what their governing bodies are advising of them in terms of how they use our facilities and those sorts of things. So a lot of that is, I suppose, on the club and how they choose to run their sessions and those sorts of things. I don't, whilst we probably will, where capacity allows, be inspecting people are adhering to what they said they would do in terms of those operational procedures that they submit to us. However, there's probably a capacity issue with us being able to do that across the district, particularly for areas that we don't staff normally.
Thank you, Paul. Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. In relation, I would just like to ask Michael and Paul, have you had any contact with the likes of the National Trust and with DARA? Because I know in some of their facilities, and for example, toilets have been allowed to be opened, and also I like my food and all, and in fact that some facilities have been opened for members of the public. And we're wondering through time, will we be following suit and opening up again toilets and the sort of facilities for people? Because for being contacted, for example, the likes of Dalamont, we have the facilities is open, but you can't go to the toilet. Or there's people probably with disabilities that are affected as well because of the current regulations. But will there be regular meetings with to offer a joined up approach? To ensure that everybody's working together. I'm not being critical or or nitpicking or anything like that there, but I'm just wondering, has there been any contact with other bodies and agencies in relation to working alongside delivering a standard service?
I see Marie is looking to come in. I don't know, is it in relation to Councillor Andrew's question?
It is, Leanne, thank you. And thank you for indulging me, and Paul, sorry for cutting across you, but I know it cuts into ERT, and is it something that sits with the ERT committee? So it is, just by way of update, and not to keep this committee involved in it, there has been working groups set up across the area and National Trust, etc., and our staff do sit on that. I will leave it by saying there was nobody more surprised than possibly the National Trust and Forest Service around the announcement of opening toilets, etc., last week. So we do continue to work on that and try to get those facilities up and running in an effective way and in a safe way. I suppose it's the fluidity of the situation at this point. And as officers, we're looking at these things every day.
Thank you, Marie. Paul, do you want to come in?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I suppose what I will highlight is certainly for some of our governing bodies, they have suggested, and some of their guidance has been on recommending keeping the likes of those facilities shut and pavilions shut, certainly for when we look at our guidance from the Northern Ireland Bowling Association, that is what they are saying in terms of keeping facilities shut at this stage. And so, you know, there is that we need to adhere to too in terms of the governing body and what they're making recommendations about. But I suppose just reiterate what Marie's saying, it's very fluid, and you know, likely that as that changes, we'd like to think that we can adapt and be flexible as well.
Thank you. Councillor Gallagher.
Hi, how are you? No, I think the question I was asking basically wasn't around going to the aspect of the hygiene aspect of it and the toileting impact it is going to have. I think that's kind of been answered, and I know, again, as I say, not to use upon it, it's quite a fluid process, so I'm happy enough with the answers on that. Thanks.
No problem. Thank you. Councillor Casey? Do you unmute, Charlie?
We can't all wait to get back to some sort of normality. My question would be, and I mean, they're at my door all the time and on the phone, about the little kickabout areas and children's play areas in council ownership that are locked up. Is there going to be a stage very soon when we can reopen, or await the back and call of the executive again? Thanks, Leon.
No problem. Paul, is that directed to yourself?
Yes.
In the hub tonight?
Yeah, quite possibly. I think, Councillor Casey, you're probably correct. We are at the call of the executive in terms of their decision making around the opening of things like play parks, etc. And yeah, at this stage, I suppose we haven't had any real clear guidance on how that should happen when those announcements do come. We've been working very closely with the likes of Playboard and other councils in terms of maybe what that may or may not look like, and you know, how we operate those if that announcement does come. But at this stage, you know, not to my knowledge, has there been any clear announcement of when that may or may not open. But I suppose it goes back to maybe Councillor Murray's initial comments at the start of this meeting around without schools being able to go back and interact in that similar environment, it's very hard for things like play parks as well. So, yeah, that's probably as best of an answer I can give at this stage, unfortunately.
Nice sound, Paul. Thanks.
Thank you. And Councillor Trainer.
Thanks very much, Chair. And I don't want to labour on the point because I know it's been raised around the facilities that would accompany the outdoor, our outdoor facilities, like the pitches and that, where you have the toilets and the changing facilities. Maybe from an inclusive, an aspect of inclusion, and obviously there's a number of people who would be involved in sports who would have possibly medical conditions or would have maybe disabilities, where having a change in place or a toilet would be maybe seen as a necessity. Has there been any discussion around advocacy groups for that and how that can be facilitated or can it be facilitated whenever we are talking about, you know, recommencing, you know, field sports?
Through the chair, I suppose certainly with the situation we're in terms of the issuing of shielding letters and those sorts of things from a medical perspective and their guidance on that around those people that who are shielding. It will be challenging. At the end of the day, we will accept a bookings for facilities. And I suppose I'm just talking general about facilities at this stage that potentially open. We'll set bookings for facilities on a case-by-case basis, and we will have to look at any sort of particular requirements that may require access like that and look at how we potentially deal with that and allow that to happen from an inclusive approach.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tara.
That's great, thank you. I just needed a proposer and seconder, but I'm aware that Councillor O'Murray proposed in his opening remarks, if we can go with that, and Councillor Andrews, a seconder, as I say, he has proposed in the instant message. Is that all right, Sarah?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, thank you. So item number 10, update on the enforcement of coronavirus regulations and social distancing. I think you're on mute, are you?
Sorry. The situation, as has been alluded to several times, is so fluid that we don't actually have the up-to-date, the finalised version of the Memorandum of Understanding with the PSNI by the time of the committee, unfortunately. So we'll be asking for permission to a draft one, that we would have permission that the Chief of Jive would sign it as long as there's no radical changes. Really, the basis of the Memorandum of Understanding is that the Council has been designated now for about since the 25th of May to enforce the COVID regulations regarding the closure of premises. So there's an overlap between ourselves and the PSNI regarding the closure of premises. So the Memorandum of Understanding is setting out that the police will maintain the responsibility for licensed premises, and then the rest will be left to ourselves. This is, like everyone else, this is changing, could be once, twice a week. So from the regulations were made in good part, I think there's been 3 amendments so far. We are, we get a lot of complaints. Part of the difficulty is, as announcements are made in advance, there seems to be a difficulty with the message and businesses are opening up. So we are trying, we're trying to give them advice. We're also looking at advice on social distancing, just for members, so members are clear. Social distancing is a part of the COVID regulations. In order for us to try and enforce anything about social distancing, we have to use just the general, the Health and Safety at Work Act powers to do that, to get businesses to risk assess their premises and to apply those measures. Just again for your information, we've probably spoken to around about 50 premises in the time that we've had the regulations, advising them that they shouldn't be open at this time. But we haven't issued any fixed penalties or anything like that. So say the recommendation is that the committee agree that subsequent to the MOU in having no significant changes, that the Chief Executive will be able to sign it.
Okay, so we just need a proposer and seconder for that. Okay, so that's Councillor Casey and Councillor Andrews to second. Is that okay, Councillor Andrews?
Fine, happy to second, Chairperson.
Thank you. Okay, so item number 11, we need to go into a closed session. So this item is deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, NI 2014, information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and the public may be resolutely excluded during this item of business. So I just need a proposer and seconder to go into closed session.
Proposed, Chair.
Seconded, Chair.
Councillor Casey.
While in closed session, the following was agreed. Item 11, Castle Park Seasonal Operations. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Traynor, to agree to hold the progressing of the public tender and enter into a contract with the preferred bidder for the delivery of alternative and enhanced seasonal operations and services at Castle Park in Newcastle. And it was also agreed that a report comes back to committee for approval on the next steps of this tender when there's further clarity in terms of COVID-19 restrictions.
Thank you, sir. So that's all the items covered on our agenda for this evening. Thank you. Thank you for being patient with me and for your guidance on my first meeting as chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Well done, Leanne, on your first one.
Thank you.
Have a nice evening.